Hi everybody, I'm Mark Amadeo, principal of the Amadeo Law Firm, and thanks for joining us today for our webinar covering what federal contractors should know about DPAS. Now, before we get started, I'll just say a few words about me and my law firm. So I've been practicing for over 20 years and am the founder of the Amadeo Law Firm, and the firm has locations in DC and in Maryland, and its primary focus is on federal government contracting. So we help clients with all of their government contracting legal needs, and that includes negotiations with teaming partners and post-award negotiations with contracting officers to general FAR and DFARS compliance. And we also help our clients protect their IP and their valuable technology in their dealings with both the government and with their private sector partners. So we'll provide you with my contact information at the end of the presentation. And if you have any questions on the information that I'm presenting today, feel free to reach out to me after the presentation. So today we're going to talk briefly about DPAS, or the Defense Priorities and Allocation System. So we'll get into more specifics in the rest of the webinar, but for now, in a nutshell, DPAS is a system that's used by the Department of Commerce and certain delegated agencies like the Department of Defense or the Department of Energy and the Department of Homeland Security and the General Services Administration, in which the agencies can assign a priority rating to their orders or contracts. And if a contract or order has a priority rating that's assigned to it by an agency, the priority rating alerts contractors of the relative importance of the particular supplies or services that the agency is buying or ordering. And so, as we'll see in a few minutes, the priority rating alerts contractors that they may have to prioritize work under a rated contract over any other work that the contractor may have in its production pipeline. So before we get into the weeds on DPAS, let's talk briefly about its foundation, which rests on the Defense Production Act of 1950. Now, we've heard a lot about the Defense Production Act during the COVID-19 pandemic, particularly early on when there were questions about whether or not President Trump or President Biden would invoke it. And in March of 2020, when the U.S. got hit with the first wave of the pandemic, President Trump, in fact, invoked the DPA, and the administration issued a number of orders to manufacturers in order to speed up the production of ventilators. And beginning as early as the fall of 2020, a number of priority rated contracts were awarded to vaccine manufacturers like Pfizer, Moderna, and Johnson & Johnson for both the production and the development of COVID-19 vaccines. Now, notwithstanding this recent attention that the DPA and rated orders have gotten during the pandemic, in fact, rated orders have been routinely issued for many years and in large numbers. For example, the Department of Defense has placed a number of its military acquisition equipment acquisitions on rated orders, and FEMA in its disaster recovery responses to things like floods and hurricanes has issued rated orders for its disaster relief acquisitions. But I think it's fair to say that COVID-19 may have broadened the spectrum of large contracts that have been issued with priority ratings, given the number of multi-billion dollar COVID-19 vaccine orders that have been priority rated. So getting back to DPA, Title I of the Defense Production Act authorizes the President of the United States to require that a contractor's performance under contract that is necessary to promote national defense must take priority over that contractor's performance under other contracts that are not necessary to promote national defense. Now, Title I also includes a mandatory contracting component that says that a president can require any person or entity that's capable of performing under contract that's necessary for national defense to accept and perform under that contract. Now, in addition to this priority contracting authority, the Defense Production Act also authorizes the President of the United States to allocate industrial and national resources to meet national defense needs. But in our discussion of DPAS today, we're going to be spending most of our time talking about priority contracting and not resource allocation. So in March of 2012, President Obama issued Executive Order 13603, which delegated the President's authority under Title I of the DPA that we just talked about to six departments or six secretaries of departments, with each department having authority over contracts that are connected to particular resources. So the Secretary of Transportation has authority over contracts related to civil transportation, while the Secretary of Energy has authority over contracts related to energy resources. The Secretary of Health and Human Services has authority over contracts related to health resources, while the Secretary of Defense has authority over contracts that are related to water. This authority has been delegated further to the Army Corps of Engineers. And lastly, the Secretary of Commerce has authority over contracts that are related to anything that doesn't fall within the areas that are designated to the other five departments. So if you think of the gamut of resources that this includes, from military and defense equipment, communications and IT technology, satellite and space exploration equipment, to more mundane things like office supplies and equipment and buildings and factories and physical plants, you can see that the Department of Commerce has authority for setting priorities over the widest array of contracts. So EO 13603 authorizes each of the six delegated agencies to issue regulations that provide standards and procedures for prioritizing the contracts that fall within the areas that they've been delegated authority over. And so all of the agencies except for the Department of Defense have in fact issued regulations that contain these standards and procedures. And collectively, these regulations make up what is commonly called the Federal Priorities and Allocations System, or FPAS. Now, in today's webinar, we're going to focus on the DPAS, which, again, is the regulatory system administered by the Department of Commerce, because, again, given the wide array of products or services that may be that are covered by the Department of Commerce's delegated authority, most orders that are rated are going to be rated under DPAS. So if a contractor comes across a rated order or a solicitation for a rated order, there's a good chance that it will be rated under DPAS. Now, all that being said, to a large extent, the ratings and priorities under the different regulatory schemes mirror each other. So familiarity with DPAS should go a long way in helping a contractor navigate the other regulatory schemes if the contractor should happen to be in a unique circumstance in which an order is rated under one of these other systems. So one last thing to note is that EO 13603 allows each of the authorized agencies to in turn authorize other agencies to place priority ratings on orders that are issued under programs that are determined by DOD, the Department of Energy, or the Department of Homeland Security to be necessary for national defense. Now, DOD will make these determinations over programs related to military production, construction, or use, and DOE makes these determinations with regard to programs related to energy, and the Department of Homeland Security makes determinations over programs that are related to other national defense items, including things that are related to civilian defense and the continuity of government. So what this means as a practical matter and how it is played out through further regulatory guidance is that the Department of Commerce has in fact redelegated its authority to other agencies. So for example, the Department of Defense has authority to place priority ratings on contracts related to military and defense programs. And on disaster relief and emergency preparedness programs, the Department of Homeland Security, and in particular FEMA, places priority ratings on contracts related to those programs. So before we drill down on DPaaS, let's talk briefly about why it's extremely important for a contractor to know as early as possible whether a contract or target procurement is rated under DPaaS. Now, as we mentioned earlier, under Title I of the DPA, which is implemented in DPaaS, a contractor is required to prioritize work under contracts that are necessary for national defense over the work on other contracts. And this can have at least three significant and profound implications on the company's operations and financial well-being. So first, a company that's handed a rated order may have to shift its production workflow, and that could include personnel and production facilities. And it may have to inform existing customers that existing orders may have to be put on hold. Now, second, a company with limited personnel or production capacity may experience a hit to its profit if it's suddenly required to focus its time and resources on a product line that has lower profit margins. So even if a rated order provides a contractor with pricing that's in line with what the market pays, that market pricing may not be much comfort to a contractor that now has to delay or stop producing items that have a higher return on investment. And that swing from having a product having to produce or sell a high ROI product to a low ROI product, depending on where the company is financially when it happens, could impact a company's overall profitability. And lastly, a rated order can have a dramatic impact on the relationships that a contractor has with its own suppliers and subcontractors. So in order for a contractor to meet the priority demands of a rated order, it's going to have to in turn make sure that its own suppliers and subcontractors can provide it with the items and services that it's going to need to fill the rated order. Now, we'll touch on this more in a few minutes, but to ensure that a contractor can meet a federal agency's demands under a rated order, a contractor can in turn cram down that rated order to its own suppliers. And it may also have to cancel or delay any orders that it has placed with suppliers or contracts for items that are being delivered under unrated orders. So in either situation, whether it's placing rated orders with its suppliers or canceling or delaying unrated orders with its suppliers, if a supplier hasn't seen it coming, the sudden change in expectation could create some awkwardness in the relationship, to put it mildly. So the DPaaS regulation, again, is at 15 CFR 700, and those regulations are administered by the Department of Commerce's Bureau of Industry and Security. Now, we said that the Department of Commerce has authority to delegate its priority to other agencies, and Schedule 1 of 15 CFR 700 identifies the agencies that the Department of Commerce has delegated its priority authority to and the particular programs that the delegated agencies have authority over. So again, under DPaaS, the priority of an order or the relative priority of an order in relation to other orders is reflected in its priority ratings that are assigned to the order by the Department of Commerce or a delegated agency. And a priority rating can be applied both to a standalone contract, and it can also be applied to individual orders like task orders under an IDIQ. So when an agency places a rating under DPaaS on a contract or order, the rating will consist of two parts. The first part of the priority rating will identify a rating symbol, which identifies the priority level of the order. And the second part of the priority rating will identify the particular program that the agency has the authority to issue the ratings for. So let's start with the first part of the priority rating, which is the rating symbol. A rating order will have one of two rating symbols, either DX or DO. Now, the Department of Commerce hasn't, as far as I've been able to find it, ever explained why it chose those two combination of letters. So you can come up with your own rationale. Maybe X stands for extreme or O for ordinary. But in any event, these two rating symbols identify the priority level for the rated order. So DX rated orders have equal priority with other DX rated orders, but have a higher priority and take precedence over DO rated orders. Now DO rated orders in turn have equal priority with other DO rated orders, but take precedence over unrated orders. Now, as it turns out, most DPAS rated orders tend to be DO rated orders. Now, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, the second half of a priority rating identifies the particular program that a delegated agency has been approved to issue the rating for. And again, the approved programs and delegated agencies are identified in Schedule 1 of the DPAS regulations. So we put up there on the slide a small excerpt from Schedule 1 that shows just a few of the DoD programs that are approved for rated orders. And an example of a rated order that's given in the DPAS regulations is a rated order for radar equipment. Now, radar equipment falls under the DoD's electronic and communications equipment program. So if an agency wants to give that order for radar equipment the highest priority, it would give it a DXA7 priority rating. And then for the next lower level of priority, it would give it a DOA7 priority rating. So under the DPAS regulations, for an order to be properly rated, it not only has to indicate what the two-part priority rating is, it also has to include three other elements. Now, the order also has to state what the required delivery date or dates are, and those dates have to be concrete, so that a notation that the delivery must be made as soon as possible or immediately, well, those are not going to be concrete enough and won't satisfy the delivery date requirement. Now, the order also has to be signed in writing if it's manually placed, or if it's an electronic order, it has to contain a digital signature or the name of the individual that's authorized to place the order. And lastly, the order has to contain a statement that alerts the contractor that the order is rated. And if the order is for emergency preparedness, the order must include an additional statement that specifies the time limit for acceptance or rejection of the order. So contractors that believe an order may be rated or is intended to be rated should examine the order to make sure that each of these elements is met, because a contractor, if it wants to turn around and place a rated order with its subcontractors, has to receive a validly rated order. So let's say a contractor receives a rated order from an agency or an upstream contractor. What can the contractor do? Well, under DPAS, unless one of the circumstances that allow for mandatory rejection or an optional rejection of a rated order is present, and we'll talk about those in a few minutes, the contractor must accept the rated order. Now, a contractor has to accept the rated order regardless of whether or not it has a pending unrated orders to fill. So a contractor can't reject an order simply because it already has orders to fill for non-government or commercial clients. And a contractor can't treat a rated order differently than it treats its unrated orders, like by charging a higher price or imposing more stringent or different terms and conditions that don't apply to its other orders. So under DPAS, under certain circumstances, the contractor can, but doesn't have to, reject a rated order. So first, a contractor can reject an order if the ordering entity that's placing the order is unwilling or unable to meet the contractor's customary or usual terms for the item that's being ordered. So in other words, a contractor that receives a rated order should expect to be able to use the same ordinary terms and conditions that it imposes on its other customers, including terms that relate to pricing or payment. Now, second, if an order is for something that the contractor doesn't supply or service it doesn't perform, the contractor doesn't have to accept the rated order. So under DPAS, a contractor can't be forced to enter a new line of business simply to satisfy a rated order. Now, similarly, if the ordered item is for something that the contractor makes or acquires for its own use, but hasn't sold to someone else in the last few years, the contractor can reject the order. Now, if the order is for something that the contractor makes for its own use, but it has sold in the last 2 years, then the contractor must accept the rated order up to the quantity that it has sold during that 2 year time period. And if the ordering entity already makes the item or performs the service, the contractor doesn't have to accept the rated order. And this is largely meant to protect downstream suppliers from being forced to do work that an upstream supplier is perfectly capable of doing itself. Now, this is most likely going to happen if the work or items are lower margin items. So, say for example, an upstream supplier receives a rated order from the government that even under market terms and pricing are low profit margin items. Well, the upstream supplier might be tempted to say, well, we sell enough of these low margin items. We'd rather spend our time and resources selling higher profit margin products. So we'll just flow this down to one of our own subs to make and produce the lower margin items, and then we'll just turn those over to the government. Well, in that case, the downstream supplier can reject the order because it's for something that the upstream supplier makes, or it's a service that the upstream supplier can supply. Now, lastly, if an order would violate a Department of Commerce rule, including any of the DPAS regulations, then the contractor can reject the order. So let's talk about the circumstances in which a contractor must reject a rated order. So first, a contractor must reject a rated order if it absolutely cannot fill a rated order by the specified delivery date. And again, simply having other unrated orders isn't going to be enough to justify this rejection. Now also, if taking on a rated order will interfere with an existing rated order of the same or higher priority, then the contractor must reject the new rated order. And then lastly, if a contractor receives multiple equally rated orders on the same date, it must first accept those orders that it can fill based on the earliest delivery date, and then reject the other orders that can't be filled. Now, in all of these circumstances, the contractor must first offer to accept the new order on the earliest delivery dates that is possible for the contractor to meet the order. So in other words, even though the contractor might not be able to meet the original delivery date, the contractor must first offer the ordering entity an alternative delivery date that it can meet before it can reject the order. So if a contractor receives a rated order, the contractor has deadlines to accept or reject the order. So if the order is DO rated, the contractor has 15 days after receipt of the order. And if it's DX rated, the contractor has 10 working days. Now, if the contractor order is for emergency preparedness, where time is of the essence, well, the contractor must accept or reject the order within the time limit under the order. But a contractor has to be given at least 6 hours if the emergency relates to a hazard or situation that has already occurred. Now, if the emergency relates to a hazard or situation that is imminent but hasn't yet occurred, the contractor has to be given at least 12 hours to accept or reject the order. Now, any rejection must give the reasons in writing or electronically why the order is being rejected. Now, as we can see here, the time frames are not long, And a contractor is going to have to work quickly to determine if it will be in a position to fill a rated order. So a contractor that receives a rated order should already have a process in place for determining the feasibility of filling rated orders. And it should also have a standard process for reaching out to suppliers and vendors ASAP to see whether their vendors or suppliers can provide the needed items. And to determine what their standard terms are in order to avoid their rejections. So we've mentioned a few times that contractors can place rated orders with their own suppliers and subcontractors. Now, under DPAS, a contractor that receives a rated order doesn't have an option when it comes to the things that needs to fill the order. If it's a needed item, the contractor must place a rated order with its supplier. And suppliers that receive rated orders are subject to the same acceptance and rejection rules that we just talked about that the upstream contractor is subject to. And those suppliers are in turn able to issue rated orders to their own suppliers and vendors. Now, in any event, the prior rating should be the same for everyone along the supply chain, unless there's an exception under DPAS that applies. And lastly, a contractor can't just run around and slap priority ratings on its contracts with its suppliers. The contractor either must be in receipt of a rated order, or it must get permission from the Department of Commerce or the delegated agency, or there must be a special provision in DPAS that it allows it to place a rating on its order. So we've already touched on this a few times, but the DPAS regulations spell out clearly and explicitly that a contractor that receives a rated order must schedule its operations so that it can meet the delivery date of a rated order. And that includes scheduling the delivery of all items that it's going to need in order to satisfy the rated order by the delivery date. Now, if a contractor doesn't have the capacity to meet delivery items for both DO rated orders and unrated orders, the contractor has to give preference in its production schedule to the DO rated order. And likewise, with respect to DX rated orders, they have to give preference in their production schedule to the DX rated orders over either DO rated orders or unrated orders. Now, and the regulation is pretty clear that even if a contractor is in mid-production or is ready to deliver an unrated order, if it needs the production time to meet the delivery date on a rated order, well, those unrated orders are going to have to be placed in the back of the line or possibly delayed. So given the short time frames for rejection or acceptance and all the other things that can complicate the delivery of rated orders, invariably problems are going to come up. So for example, a contractor or supplier may have unforeseen difficulty with the downstream supplier. Maybe the downstream supplier has gone out of business or faced its own unforeseen events. Or maybe a contractor has a conflict with another government unrated order or lower priority order, and that government agency is not being very accommodating. Well, DPAS has procedures that are called special priorities assistance that enable the contractor to enlist the help of the delegated agency to help resolve these issues. And if the delegated agency isn't able to resolve the issues, the delegated agency can then ask the Department of Commerce to step in. But for a contractor to get this special priorities assistance from the delegated agency or the Department of Commerce, the contractor has to put in its request in early enough and in time for the Department of Commerce or the delegate agency to be able to do something about the problem. Also, the problem has to relate to something that the contractor urgently needs to fill the order. It can't be over some minor issue. And the contractor has to first make a reasonable effort to resolve the problem on its own before resorting to the special priorities assistance process. So the last thing that we'll touch on today are some of the legal issues that can be implicated in rated orders. Now, the first is liability protection that's afforded under the DPA and DPAS. So if a contractor is forced to take action, like delaying the delivery of an unrated order or breaching an existing contract, in order to comply with a rated order, the DPA and DPAS state that the contractor will not be held liable for any damages or penalties that result. But the predicate for any liability protection is that the contractor must be in compliance with the DPA regulations. So a contractor needs to dot all the I's and cross all the T's in terms of compliance in order to take advantage of this protection. And lastly, a contractor that knowingly and willingly violates the DPA or the DPAS, for example, maybe it places an unrated order that's highly lucrative ahead of its production queue and lies about it to the government. Well, willful violations of the DPA or DPAS are crimes and can be punishable with fines, imprisonment, or both. Well, that's all I have for my presentation today. I want to thank everyone for listening. And if you have any questions about the information in this presentation, feel free to reach out to me.